This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Sunday, November 24, 2024. The Solemnity of Christ the King by Father William Doc Holliday.
My kingdom is not of this world. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Today, in the new calendar celebration of Christ the King, one of the big solemnities of the church. And we come in here, and every time we come in here, we hear about the kingdom, we hear about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But unfortunately, we don't really embrace. As a matter of fact, we don't like the concept of kingship. We live in a time in history, and particularly a place in this world, in this time of history, where the whole idea of someone having sovereignty over us is repugnant. We hate that kind of talk. We don't like it. Why? Because it flies in the face of our human nature, which is prideful. We need to understand that indeed, it's not churchy language, but that our Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And basically, we need to make the decision, are we going to serve him as he is, or are we going to rebel against him and do what we want? It is our nature to do what we want. We need to conform ourselves to this idea that is so extremely foreign to us in this day and age, this idea that someone can be sovereign. You look at the readings today, at the first reading from the prophecy of Daniel. This is inarguably a reference to our Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God. Daniel, I beheld one like the Son of Man. He came with the clouds of heaven. Like the Son of Man, our Lord Jesus Christ, man and God, divine and human. So he is like the Son of Man. He came from the clouds of heaven. He came down at the Annunciation and took form in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So we're talking about Jesus here. And this one Jesus is presented to the Ancient of Days, God the Father. They presented it to him. We see this in the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. He ascends into heaven, and as we say in the Creed, every time we get together on a Sunday or a feast day, that he is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, meaning that he has absolute authority in heaven and in earth. The resurrected Lord, end of the Gospel of Matthew, all power has been given me in heaven and on earth. Not heaven, just like, okay, when you get up to heaven after you die, then I am the King, King, the Lord of Lords of this place. No, he is King, King of Lord of Lords here. And now, the question is whether we submit to that or not. Do we rebel against him? All people, tribes and tongues shall serve him. We need to do the right thing and conform ourselves to service before we are made to serve. Oh, heaven is where all the people go who served him, and the people who go to hell who don't serve him. No, the people who go to hell did not serve him, but after they're there, they do. Because they present his justice for all eternity and his righteousness. So all shall, every tribe, tongue of nation. That language is used for everybody. Well, this is for Christians. No, every tribe, every tongue, every nation will eventually submit to his authority, whether they do it voluntarily and spend eternity with him in heaven, or whether if they're made to do it, and that's in hell. This is the kingship of our Lord. This is our problem. One of the parts of spirituality is know where we're weak, where we know we need work. We need work on this whole submission to the king thing. And like you can say, we sound very theological up to this point, but look at it practically speaking. From a practical standpoint, you look at whether people want to serve our Lord Jesus Christ or not. We are members of the Catholic Church, the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Apostolic means things that were handed down from the time of the apostles. It does not change. It does not change. It does not. We don't adjust according to what we want to understand. We cannot cherry pick our faith. I like this, but I don't like that. That is a lack of submission to our Lord Jesus Christ, said the King and King of Lord of Lords. And it's not theoretical. We, in our personal lives, as individuals, we hate to be obedient. We hate to be obedient. And what's really sick is that the church has started to acquiesce to that human nature of not being obedient. For instance, in the new order of Mass, the liturgy for matrimony, it's an option as to whether or not the woman says to obey her husband. That has never been an option in the liturgy of matrimony. It is not an option around here, nor in any other traditional parish. It's not an option because it shows the proper role of things. Well, in this day and age, in this day and age that fosters disobedience, it was bad in creation with Adam and Eve, and it's gotten worse and worse and worse. And like I said, what's really sick about it is the church is starting to buy into this stuff. They're making it comfortable for people who do not want to submit to what our Lord has always mandated for us. This is where the problem lies. Now, am I going to serve? Am I not going to serve? Creatures with free will have a very, very dangerous inclination to not serve. And this is an Adam and Eve thing. This is the angels. The moment the angels were created, they were given their mandate. Here is your mandate. Will you serve or will you not? The holy angels, we will serve. We will be submissive to your will. Whatever you desire, this is what we do. This is for what we were created. The other angels, Lucifer, at their head. Lucifer. We hear that word and we're like, oh, Lucifer, that's bad. Lucifer means the day star. He's the shining one. He's the pinnacle of creation. He was Lucifer, but then non serviam, I will not serve. And he rebels and he becomes Satan, the devil, the adversary, and what we know today. This is the reality of how creatures of free will, which the angels were created with free will, they're not God's little robots. They do whatever he says. That is why we have angels, holy, and demons. They're all angels. They were all created for the same thing. Right? Some of them would serve, some of them would not. Adam and Eve, serve me by not doing one thing. One. Just one thing. We will not serve. We will do that thing you told us not to do. It's our nature. And then after the fall, it gets worse and worse and worse. And that's where we find ourselves today. This is why it is imperative for us to know that area of weakness, because we need to serve. We need to serve him. Our Lord Jesus Christ established the church on the back of Peter. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Peter, the other apostles, then as things progressed, bishops, priests, deacons, the lay faithful. It's a hierarchy. This is the way our Lord has established it. Oh, we don't like that anymore. No, we need to have synodality. We need to make the church a democracy where everybody votes on. No. Jesus established it the way he wanted it established. And we need to abide by that. We need to submit to that and stop the cherry picking stuff. Every time we cherry pick, every time we sin, every single time, and I'm talking about grave and mortal, so I'm not talking about when you roll your eyes at somebody and all that stuff, okay? I'm talking about biggies. Every time we do things like that, we are rebelling against God. I will not serve. I know you told me not to do that, but I don't care. I'll do it anyway. That is, I will not serve, non serviam. The consequences are deadly. Deadly. The church is not a democracy. That is something made of, that is man-made. You read the catechism, the new one. Democracy is the most Christian way that we should run our country. I am dumbfounded when I read things like that. Because guess what? In this book, nobody ever votes on anything. Hey, people of God, come around. What do you think we should do? No, you listen to Moses because he speaks for me. This is the way things are supposed to run, because when they do that, they run smoothly. But unfortunately, in this world, why do we recoil against that? Because everybody's human here, everybody's sinful. So when people are in charge, that old adage generally comes to fruition that absolute power corrupts absolutely. What do we call it? We call it dictators. We hear that word. You hear that word, particularly dictator. That's bad. Jesus Christ is a dictator. He's a dictator. He dictates. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. How can you call me Lord and not do what I say? He's a dictator. He's a good one. We just have a problem with that stuff. We've got a lot of bad examples down here, but he is the prime example. We need to submit to that because it's good for us. He is a benevolent dictator. Benevolence is it's a gross understatement. He is supremely good. We words like dictator. Oh, Jesus is a dictator. And if you're submitting to that, guess what you are? You're a slave. Oh, the S word. We don't use that anymore. We don't even say it. Why? Oh, it's repugnant. No, it's not. No, it's not. It shows complete submission. But unfortunately, in this world, slavery dictates despotism, generally speaking. You imagine being as a, I want you to be my slave. I don't want to be anybody's slave. You can come live in my mansion with me, and I'll give you everything that you want that's good for you. And I'll pay you, and you'd be happy, and I'll fend for your family, and I'll, you know, just on and on with the good stuff. You're like, oh, heck yeah. I'll never fire you. All I'm expecting is just do your task. I'm up for it. But there are some people who just wouldn't. I'm not going to be anybody's slave. I'll live under a bridge. Eat dirt. But no, you know, I won't be anybody's slave. That's pride. That's pride, and it's dangerous. I think probably the best place in the scripture to see how dangerous not serving our Lord Jesus Christ is in the Gospel of Luke chapter 19. The whole parable is the very familiar parable that, oh yeah, he went away to receive his kingship, but while he was gone, he left his servants this many talents and this many talents, and the servants got this and the servant got that. We know that story. Never lose sight of the fact that in that story, and it's just so subtle. It's almost subliminal. It's almost like you don't even pay it. You're reading the story. Okay, here's the talent story again. Read on. And you miss the, where, after he leaves, he said, here's some talents. I'm going to go receive my kingdom, and I'm going to come back. This is obviously Jesus saying a parable about himself. This, undoubted, he's going to leave his servants with stuff, graces, and he's going to go receive his kingship. After he leaves, a whole group, a big group, we will not have this man serve over us. They pop off with that nonsense, and they just kind of shut up, and you get the rest of the story about the talents. And they do this, and they do this, and the good guys get commended for it, and the one guy who puts it in a napkin, he gets chastised and condemned for doing what he does. And, okay, yeah, the story's over. Let's go on. No, the story's not over. After he condemns the one who put his talent in a napkin, he says, oh, and by the way, those who would not serve me, bring them before me and kill them. Well, Jesus doesn't do stuff like that because he's gracious and merciful. Yes, he is gracious and merciful if you serve him. If you do not, he is righteous and just, and you have rebelled against the King, King, and Lord of Lords. This is very dangerous. Thus saith the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring them before me and kill them. You'll hear stuff like that too much, but it's nonetheless, it shows how important this is. We need to jump tracks about approaching the kingdom of God if we even consider it. Again, it's just so churchy. Yes, Christ the King Day. Yeah, let's go on. Yeah, we hear about the seat at the right hand of the Father. Okay, yeah, whatever. No, not whatever. We need to act like he is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, like he has been given authority in heaven and on earth, because this is where you start. Oh, I'm in heaven now. I lived like I wanted down there. I rebelled against you, but now I want to go to heaven, so everything's cool. You know, I'll serve you now. Oh, yes, you will serve me in hell. You will exhibit my righteousness and justice for all eternity, separated from me, exiled from the kingdom of heaven. This is a should be a scary proposition. We need to jump tracks from thinking about kings in this world and the bad examples that kings and dictators have been. We need to jump those tracks and start thinking about the fact that Jesus, when he's talking to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. Don't be thinking about it like kings down there. They're all corrupt. They're all sinful to one extent or the other. I am supremely good. And for your betterment, I ask you to serve me. It's up to you. You have free will. Book of Deuteronomy, I offer you life or death. It is your decision. This is that discourse between our Lord and Pilate. My kingdom is not of this world. Pilate actually asked him twice. Now, it wasn't a long gospel today. Two times he asked, are you a king? Because Pilate's a godless heathen, but he's really kind of curious about what's going on here. He's getting kind of scared because, like, his wife comes up, don't have anything to do with this good man because I've been troubled in a dream many times today over him. So he's kind of on edge about this whole thing. Why are the Jews wanting to turn this guy over? Because I know he's not done anything wrong. Oh, you say he's trying to usurp Caesar's authority. Okay, are you a king? Jesus says, a lot of people miss this one. Jesus says unequivocally, yes. With his answer, thou sayest that I am a king. You don't read that as in, you say I am a king. You know, Jesus, if you would put the inflection this way, you say, I am a king. What you have said is true. I am a king. Thou sayest, I am a king. Yes. So as soon as he says that, he starts speaking Pilate's language, so to speak. By that I mean, he uses examples Pilate can understand. Pilate is a godless heathen, but he understands how kings work in this world. If you're a king, you have armies and you make people do what you say. Our Lord says, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight for me and I would not be handed over to the Jews for execution. I wouldn't have it. Pilate is starting to get it. He's like, okay, they said he wants to usurp Caesar's authority, but and it's true. You know, they brought him here. I know he's got disciples. Why aren't they fighting for him? Why aren't they trying to get him away? Why doesn't he appeal to what he can do against my forces? Jesus said, This isn't about who I am. My servants would certainly strive. But he's saying, I don't seek any kingdom here. I'm not setting up my throne in this place. I've come down here to bring my subjects up to the kingdom in heaven. This is what I'm all about. And as soon as Pilate hears that, there's a disconnect with him because he's a godless heathen. He doesn't understand about heaven or anything. But he knows absolutely that Jesus isn't a threat to Caesar or to his authority. He doesn't say that. It's Pilate goes, oh, okay, I don't get it, but I find no cause in this man. I find no cause in him. He's not trying to usurp any, he's not trying to rebel. I don't understand his religious stuff, and I don't understand about this kingdom that's not of this world, but I don't care because I'm a worldling. And as long as he's not messing with me or Caesar, I'm good. Okay? This is, Jesus is being very clear to him. And so we need to approach the idea of kingship, not in terms of this, I'm not going to be a slave. I don't want to be obedient. I don't want to, yes, I do want to be obedient. Why? Because of who the king is. This king, in the second reading today from Revelation, our Lord Jesus Christ says, tell St. John, I am the Alpha, the Omega, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. We hear that word all the time, Almighty. Have you ever thought for a moment what that means, Almighty? This is not a matter of, well, most people, Almighty. Oh, he can do this and he can do that. It's not a matter of what he can do. It's a matter of who he is. Almighty. Think of that word for a second. Almighty. God can do all that he wills by the mere act of his will. Creation. And God spoke and said, let there be light. And then he took bids from contractors to set it all up. And no, he spoke and it happened. With light, with the earth and the firmament, with the animals, with Adam and Eve. He just spoke and it happened. Psalm 148. Everything in creation, praise the Lord, for he spoke and you were made. He commanded and they were created. There's nothing impossible for him. That's not possible. He couldn't do that. Because you don't know. You're the creatures and he's the creator. He's infinite. You're finite. You're not going to understand how he can speak and things come into being out of nothing. Without him, when he announces his coming to the Blessed Virgin Mary, no word shall be impossible with God. So when you look at creation, the heavenly stuff, you look around, you look up at, you know, how many guys, generations of astronomers have tried to figure out all the distance between planets and everything. And just look at it for a second from our perspective. You know, it's very interesting to understand, well, how far away that is. How long does it take light to get to that place? I'm looking at light that left that star, you know, a million years ago. Oh, you get into that concept. That's great. It's good. You know, it gives us an appreciation. Great. But you got to sit back and from our perspective, look at it and go, yeah, I'd like to really know how that happened, everything. But it's really cool to know that he spoke and it just happened because he's almighty. If you look at what Jesus did, why does he do the miracles? You think about the miracles. A few weeks ago, hurricane, right? Everybody remembers that one. Why? Because it's all scary. Oh, hurricane's coming. It's category 5. Oh, run away. Hunker down. Do this, do that. I'm not belittling. I stood around here. Yeah. It's like, oh, gosh. You know, sit in your house. It's like, whoa. The wall's going to hold up. The roof's going to hold up. Yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah, so we know. We get hurricanes, right? We live in Florida. We get hurricanes. Could you imagine if that bad bear was coming and somebody walked out, a person walked out onto the beach as the Category 5 wind goes, peace, be still. And it just stopped. It just stopped. Oh, yeah, Jesus did that. It's not a Bible story. It's something that actually happened because he's almighty. Stop. And the Cat 5 just, everything's glass. There's no breeze or anything. He does like that. Walk on water. Come on. Well, I can do this because I'm almighty. I do it all the time if I want to. This is the one we're supposed to serve. I want to serve a guy like that. It's like when you're being bullied, you want that big, huge friend behind you to beat everybody up. That's Jesus. We should like that. That's that slave to that supremely good being. The hurricane, one thing, you know, imagine walking with somebody into a graveyard, like that whole Lazarus story. You imagine walking to a graveyard with somebody, you go visit, you know, your parents in a graveyard or something like that, and have somebody walk up next to you and go, arise. And they just get up and come out, and you'd be like, wow, that's the one who's our king. Why do you not want to submit to somebody like that? And it's like, why don't you want to submit to him? How could you even think for a moment that this almighty God, how could you even think to cross him? How could you think of crossing him? Oh, because I really like looking at this and like doing that. Whoa, Because the same one who said, "Peace be still, Lazarus come out," is the same one who said, "Bring them before me and kill them. If I give you life, I give you death." This is what we're dealing with here. You want to be his slave. You want to submit to everything he says because he is almighty. That means that no matter what you have going on, he can work with it. And when I say work with it, I mean, you might not get what you want. Why? Because he's almighty and he knows better than you. I wanted this person to get well. Well, he knows better and they might die. That doesn't mean he was not able to keep them alive or heal them. It just meant that I want this to happen now and it's going to happen now, no matter how heartrending it may be for you, because I'm almighty. We just need to approach him like that. We need to appreciate him for who he is. This is the one we want to serve. So, you know, his kingdom is not of this world. He is not like anybody down here. And we should be supremely, how much reverence should we give him for being there for us? And all we need to do is serve him. If you serve him, you can be assured of his help. And there is not anything that he can't take care of. He reigns supreme. And he's supremely good. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.